Hello everyone, how are you? This is week 7 of Solid Foundations. We're going to talk about the laying on of hands for transferring God's spiritual, wonderful power to people. And in this moment of coronavirus, it's very hard to actually, pray for people physically, but over the Zoom, over the online community, over this teaching, I believe that the power of God can go out. And traditionally, we've always talked about the power of God being like a plug. God is the source, God is the power, and His power flows into us. It's a transfer of divine power into us through healing. Thank you, Jesus, for healing, for freedom. There's an impartation. But in the coronavirus, I guess a better picture would be the little bars on your Wi-Fi. The little bars that say you're in Wi-Fi range and we can receive from God and we can pray for others on Zoom, in college, wherever it is, there can be a transfer. So laying on of hands is one of the solid foundation stones. In our study in Hebrews 6, it says that our foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and resurrected from the dead. That's our faith. Our faith is on Him. And then we started to build some building blocks. One was repentance, which is a changed mind. God's giving us a renewed mind. Another one is faith in God, establishing deep in His promises. And then we talked about baptism in water, freeing us from the past and empowering us. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, power of God on our lives. Last week, we talked about laying on of hands for healing and freedom. And this week, we are going to talk about the transfer of spiritual power in three areas: in the anointing or deep touch of God, in blessing, and in spiritual leadership lift. We're believing that through this teaching, we're going to see the divine power of God in these three areas of our life: in anointing, blessing, and leadership lift. So let's go to anointing. What is anointing? Well, anointing is God's smearing. The word anointing means to smear in or massage in the oil of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the touch, the deep touch of God. If it was a healing need we need, then God is deep anointing into us for healing. If it's a spiritual need, God is anointing us. If it's for power, God is anointing us. And so we're going to see anointing as something that God pushes into our lives. It will change our lives. It's supernatural. So where there's a laying on of hands, there can be an impartation of anointing. Well, once again, let me say, right now we can believe in the Wi-Fi power of God and the Wi-Fi power of God to pray for other people. Now, we read about the anointing in the Old Testament. The picture of smearing or massaging is an Old Testament picture that comes through to Jesus. So we're going to read that in a minute. But let me read to you one of my favorite stories of when David was a young man, about 17, he'd been pretty rejected by his family, but God chooses him to be the one, And God's going to anoint him. It's going to change him. It's going to allow him to be all he can be. So we're going to read here from 1 Samuel 16, pardon me, 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 to 13, a couple of verses we're going to miss. Now, in the story, bad King Saul, Samuel's a prophet, and God says to Samuel, you need to anoint a new king. It's going to be young David. You're going to go to his family. You're going to find him and anoint him, and he's going to become the king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord had said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Samuel loved the old king who was a bad king. How long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn, that's like a horn of a sheep, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, that's the father. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Now, in the story, they're going to line up the sons and Samuel the prophet is going to say, that's the one, all right? Verse 5, we're going to go to. Samuel replied, yes, in peace I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, at this part of the story, David is not even there. He's so rejected. He's not even considered one of the sons. He's going to come in a bit later. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So I love this scripture. It's really saying, doesn't matter what we look like, God's looking at the heart to see what's in us, our destiny, our future. Wow, I love our God who looks at the heart. And he looked at Eliab and rejected him. Now, here it doesn't say why, but later on, Eliab is really mean to young David. He's not a trainer. He's not a trainer and coach and teacher of another generation. Eliab is after himself. Now, we don't know that here, but later we do know that. Why God would say, not Eliab, because he's going to be another king like Saul. He's just going to become a mean guy. Don't look at the outside, look at the heart. Verse 8, and Jesse called Abinadab and have him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one. Verse 10, Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse said, they're still the youngest. He's tending the sheep. Samuel, the prophet, Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. We're not going to sit down and eat until we sort this out. Get this young boy in here. I must meet him. Verse 20. So he sent for him and have him brought in. And he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking good, but that's not the key. The Lord said, rise and anoint him with the oil. Rise and anoint him. This is the one. And I believe that God has anointed you for something great, whether it's in business or finance or teaching or craftsmanship or ministry or athletics or music. Or God has anointed you for something great. I believe God has an anointing on every person. We've got to discover it. And arise and anoint him. This is the one to be the king. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him. That means poured the oil all over his head. It would have been pretty messy, actually, in the house. Anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. This is the key. From the point of the anointing, there was a continual anointing day after day after day. And when you discover the anointing of God, you will know that you can be filled again daily, to be filled with dreams and visions and strength and capacity and courage for the thing that you are anointed to do. What a great story. Let me read it again. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Now, this anointing, we're going to read upon Jesus. I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus, our Lord Jesus, who died and rose again? Yay, we love Jesus so much. So when Jesus was starting his ministry in Luke 4, he's in his hometown, which is Nazareth, and it says he goes to the synagogue as usual, and they hand him the scrolls. The Old Testament were written in scrolls of paper, and sort of like, you know, like this sort of thing, and it's rolled up in a scroll, excuse me for my basic illustration here, but they gave him the scroll of Isaiah. Jesus opened it and found the place in Isaiah 61 verse 1, and he reads it, and at the end he's going to say, this is now. And just like David, from that time on, the anointing was on him. So let's read about Jesus quoting Isaiah 61. This is in Luke 4:18. He opens it and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, anointing, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim grace grace. The anointing is on Jesus to set people free, to heal them, and to say, grace is here. Grace is here. I love John 1, 17. It says, Moses came with law, but Jesus came with grace and truth. Jesus' anointing is an anointing of grace right now. Right now, there is grace for you and your family. There is grace for you in your ministry, in your business, in your parenting. The anointing has come upon. Now, in this story, you think the people are going to get excited, but Jesus said this is fulfilled today, and they get very angry and they want to toss him off a cliff. So he leaves Nazareth and goes to a new place called Capernaum, where so many of the miracles are done. What a pity for Nazareth, hey, that they missed out all that amazing power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus here is proclaiming the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Now, what about us? Well, we read in Matthew that Jesus, that John the Baptist said, I baptize in water for a change of mind, repentance, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's a coming anointing. When did this happen? It's called the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But we're going to read the promise, Acts 1, 8. And Jesus speaking before he raises up to heaven. Jesus was resurrected and lived another 47 or something days. And in that time, he had 11 appearances to disciples. We're going to look at that next week. But right now, Jesus, before he goes up into heaven, Acts 1:8 says, who's you? You 120 waiting right now, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When power comes on, power is going to go out of our mouths and our hands and our anointing, our ministry and our giftings, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon. Acts 2, they were all together and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they received that power and they spoke in tongues and Peter starts preaching and 3,000 get saved. Wow. I want to tell you that the anointing is a transfer of power. It's God's Wi-Fi. I receive his Wi-Fi power. Wi-Fi is just an illustration. That's all it is. I'm just trying to get this concept that right now, where you're listening, you can receive power and you can speak power right now. Right now, speak it. Speak it over your life. Speak it over your family. Speak it over your job. Speak the anointing. Speak it over unsaved people. Speak it over saved people. Speak it over your connect group, your dream team. Be a believer that you have received anointing and it will then be transferred to other people. So that's number one. Number two this week is transfer of power for blessing. Now, we're singing an amazing song about the blessing. I'm going to come to that in a minute. But the blessing, the concept of blessing is such a big part of the Bible. Big part of the Bible. It's the word blessing is mentioned so many times. It literally means good words, to speak good words, but not just good words, anointed words, the receiving of power and speaking it. And I just love this. And I'm going to read to you from Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, called the Abraham blessing, all right? Abraham, man of God, here we go. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and curse whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Now, this one scripture, we summarize blessed to be a blessing, blessed to bless, blessed to bless. And some people think that blessing is a selfish concept. And if it's just me, it's possible that could be true, that it is more for me, more for me. But the concept of blessing is I have a revelation. It's not just for me, it's for my wife. It's not just for me, it's for my family and for my job and my connect group and people. Blessed to be a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. So when we come to the blessing song, the Lord keep you, the Lord have his hand upon you. It's a song that's been sung this year from Elevation Church in Kerry Job, and it's been picked up from by churches all around the world in so many languages. You can just Google it, the blessing in whatever language. Our church did a version bilingual, English, Japanese, and straight away, just so many thousands of people watching that, listening to that. It's a sound that people want to hear today, that we can be blessed to be a blessing, blessed to sing a blessing, blessed to speak a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. So we're going to read here Numbers 6:22, because this is where the blessing comes from. It's a man called Aaron, a priest of God, actually Moses' brother. And so we're going to read here Numbers 6:22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you or protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious, grace-filled towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." The word, the Hebrew word shalom, shalom, give you shalom. This word shalom is in many languages of the world. In Arabic, it's salam. In Indonesian, it's salamat. In Filipino, it's salamat. This word shalom, 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 is about the blessing of peace. And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. When God puts his name on them, it's not putting like G-O-D on him. When God puts his name on you, he puts his character on you. You need to know that. He puts his anointing on you. I am a believer in Jesus, and so he has put his anointing, his name, his character on me. Hey, you believers in Jesus out there, God has put his name on you. He's put his name, the name Jesus, the anointing, the blessing, that you would carry it and be a blessing for other people. Now, this concept of blessing, I had to learn, because when I became a believer, I came from a negative background and it was all about me. I couldn't think about helping someone else. I was always not thinking that. But as a believer, I had to come into the revelation that God wants me to be blessed, to be a blessing. And it was a number of years after I became a Christian, I got married, and as a young salesman at that time in Sydney, I had to learn the power of blessing. And it came to me one day when I was coming home from work. I was just married, and my wife would be so happy when I came home. Isn't that nice? And my lovely Viviana, and she would say, "Well, let's have a cup of tea," and okay, and I'd come in and I'd unload all my difficulties of the day on her. You know, this I used to sell pharmaceuticals to doctor. Oh, this doctor didn't want it, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. And I would complain. And before long, she would leave the room and go into a room and close the door. And I thought, that's so strange. She must have an attitude. But no. She didn't have the attitude. I had the attitude. And I had to learn. And it came to me from Psalm 100, where it says, come in, enter his courts with praises, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. The concept of coming in and unloading blessing, not coming home and unloading negativity and sadness. Come home and unload. The anointing is on me to unload. You know, you have the anointing and you can use that anointing anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Come home and come to church. Come to online campus, come to this teaching and say, I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, I'm going to be, and then I'm going to bless, I'm going to share, I'm going to subscribe, I'm going to share with friends on Facebook, I'm going to be a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. Why don't you think about that right now? Would you consider subscribing on YouTube or whatever it is, sharing with a friend? I learned from Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. And when I came home with a new attitude, Wow. It was like I came home and now was an agent of blessing. And I would say, "Hi, honey, how are you? How's your day?" And unloading. And then when we had kids later, "How's the kids?" It was amazing how I helped Viv's attitude be just amazing. She was already great, but I was a downer. And then when I turned it to be a blesser, she received that and she was a blesser. And our marriage got so much better. And to this day, I come home, put the key in the lock. "Hi, honey, I'm home. Get a cup of tea. Let's talk and let's share." Blessed to be a blessing. There is an anointing. And just like I can receive that power, the laying on of hands. Now, we're going to read here Jesus put his hands on children to bless them. And Jesus also said, when you go to a house, bless the house, bless it. If there's people there of peace, your blessing will stay with them. Peace, shalom, peace. The power of blessing. Let's read here, Mark 10, 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. What? Why wouldn't you want blessing? You know, some people today speak against blessing. It's like, what? Why would you stop the concept of blessing? It's such a godly principle of the Old Testament, New Testament, thousands of times about blessing. Anyway, the disciples rebuked them. They were trying to stop the blessing. What? And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That's a big word meaning pretty angry, pretty upset that they would stop kids from coming to him. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Listen, and he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. We do this at church. We bless the little children. It's called baby dedication or baby or child dedication. It's not baptism, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, but it is the concept of dedication. They dedicated Jesus, Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple when he was eight days old or something. And Hannah in the Old Testament dedicated little Samuel at the temple. The concept of blessing the next generation. I believe God's anointing is to bless the next generation. Do not stop them from coming. Hey, if you're in ministry, your anointing is not for you. It's to bless another generation. So when we're singing this song, the Lord bless you, I'm not going to sing, all right? But the Lord bless you and the Lord protect you. The Lord, his face upon you. It's such a beautiful song. I encourage you to sing it over your family, over your nation, over your city. Hey, as I've gone around the world, I've noticed a lot of leaders speak badly about their cities. It's almost like a bragging rights, like my city is the most demonic or my city is the worst or we have the most biggest problems. And I don't think we're supposed to speak that way, even if it's true that there are big problems. And I've lived in some countries where there have been very big problems, but I've always spoke blessing. When we came to Japan, we heard people speak negatively about Japan because of the history or the culture. And we said, no. We're just going to speak blessing. Japan, God loves you. Japan, God is with you. Japan, God is for you. I know there's problems, but Japan, God is close to you. Jesus sent his disciples out and he said to them, when you go, heal the sick in my name, proclaim freedom and tell them that God is near. I love that. That's the blessing. Japan, right now, Japan, God blesses you. Wherever you're from, Hong Kong, God blesses you. Indonesia, God blesses you. Bali, God blesses you. You get the picture. Let's be blessers. Blessers. The Lord bless you, Japan. The Lord bless you, Tokyo. The Lord bless you, church. The Lord bless you. Put your name there, the family. The Lord bless you. Blessed to be a blessing. This power is real. It's not fake and it's not just words. It is a powerful statement of blessing. You know, Jesus even said, bless your enemies. Whew, that's hard, right? But you know, as we do that, it sort of releases us to forgive and actually receive more blessing. As we bless our enemies, we can receive more. Give and receive. Release enemies, release whoever it is from whatever. Okay, the third one is transfer of spiritual leadership lift. Supernatural leadership lift. So today we're talking about transfer of power for anointing, transfer of power for blessing, and now transference of power for supernatural leadership lift. I've been a Christian for 41 years. Every year of my life, I have had the joy of discipling people. I am known as a discipler or a builder or a, I love it. I believe even now at age 61 right now, I believe I'm going to, I believe in the supernatural leadership lift in our churches and wherever I go. I'm praying for a chance for a leadership lift, a leadership, a supernatural lift. I call it like an elevator ride. You know, sometimes I just turn up at church and look at people and go, yep, there's something happening in there. And yep, there's something happening there. And I often talk to people and say, you know what? I think you're in God's elevator right now. You're like, you press the button. It's like next left up. But sometimes people go up one, two, three, four levels in a very short time as they get journaling, they get the word, they get anointing, they get freedom, they get a touch from Holy Spirit. I can see, and it could be in business or in family leadership or in ministry or in connect group leadership or in dream team leadership. I see what God is doing. I can see it in the Holy Spirit. And I believe God is doing it in your lives right now. So we're going to read about the anointing, this laying on of hands for a leadership lift. And once again, Old Testament story, Moses is needing leaders. He needs some leaders. How many need some leaders? I need some leaders. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest for workers, leaders. Come on, this anointing is leadership lift wherever you are. So Numbers 11, 24, there is a reproduction of the anointing on Moses to many other people. You ready? This is an amazing scripture. Numbers 11, 24. Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. The tent is where the presence of God was, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tent of God. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, spoke with Moses. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested on the 70 elders, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. And I tell you, there can be a supernatural increase. I believe that the kingdom of God grows through the local church, God putting in leadership and then training. I love online and all the podcasts and that, but really it's being part of a local church and taking of the anointing of that local church is so, so powerful. Just this year in Lifehouse, we have over doubled our number of sites that we are preaching the gospel. We've gone from 23 to about 48 in a few months. It's been a remarkable year. This coronavirus is terrible. It is not of God. It's a terrible thing, and it's hurting a lot of people. And I'm so sorry that some of you people are affected. Some of our very good people in Lifehouse there have lost loved ones, and so this is not a good thing, it's a bad thing. But in the middle of the coronavirus, there is an acceleration of leadership development. There is an acceleration of what God is doing. There's also an acceleration of people stepping away from God, but there is an acceleration of people stepping into God, into power, into anointing. Come on, I'm believing that for you right now, that the anointing that's upon God and upon your leaders will come upon you. And when that anointing comes on you, it doesn't mean you lose who you are. No, no, no. God wants you to be the best you that you can be, right? So this anointing will never lose you and your giftings and your passions. It just increases with another. That's called the double anointing. You keep your anointing from God and you take that of another person. Hey, I've been under some pretty amazing leaders in my 41 years of pastoring, and I've always said, God, I keep my own anointing and my own character and call, but I would love what they have, not because I'm jealous, but I can see the increase. So, you know, at times I've been under incredible leaders that were just apostolic, and I said, God, I want some of that. And I've been under leaders who are prophetic, and I said, God, I want some of that. And I've been under leaders who are evangelistic, and I said, God, I want some of that. And I've been under leaders who are great teachers, and I said, God, I want some of that. And some, under some great pastoral care people, I said, God, I want some of that. You know, it's not being greedy. It's saying, God, I want that to be a blessing. Blessed to bless more people. So the anointing on one, Moses, went on to 70. 70. This is a bit like Jesus in the New Testament, isn't it? Where in Matthew and Luke, we read that there Jesus gave it to 12, and then he in Luke 10, he gave it to 72 others. A bit similar to this story, right? So this concept of multiplication, I'm believing it's going to happen in your church. You know, the devil wants to steal this concept of multiplication, but God's anointing will increase it, in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray for increase wherever you are, whatever church you're part of, increase of the anointing, of leadership lift, of power. Come on, let's go up in that elevator ride by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read a couple more scriptures in the New Testament. This one is from Acts 6, where there was a great need in the church and they need some business guys. Basically, it could be business girls too, but in this case, it's business guys. And they solve an incredible problem in the local church. We need their wisdom. We need their leadership gift. We need their business acumen. We need their logistics. We need business people to be anointed. And we're going to see that also some of these business people then have an anointing for ministry. You don't have to, but there are some people with leadership gifts and business gifts who can use it for the kingdom of God. In fact, I think everyone should be using their gifts somehow for the kingdom of God, don't you? Right, here we go. Acts 6, 1. In those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. This is a big deal. This could have split the church into two different ethnic groups. The Hellenistic Jews, those coming from Greek background, the word Hellen is the old word for Greece. The Grecian Jews, the Jews who came from non-Jewish background who became Jewish and then believers. And then it says, complained against the Hebrew Jews. They were the really ancient people from Israel Jews. So you've got people from Greek background and Jewish background in the church, and there's going to be a disagreement, basically a racial divide. This is big. This is huge. And we know it's big. So what happened? What did they do? So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. That doesn't mean looking down on waiting on tables. The word wait on tables actually means finances. It actually does mean finances. It doesn't mean giving food out. It means the tables were set to do the banking and the accounting of money, the accounting. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom already. Full of it. We will turn their responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose, here we go, here's the people. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. So a number of these names are Greek names. Pretty interesting that they chose people from the Greek group who felt something against their group. Most of these names are Greek names, men full of the Holy Spirit, but including them so much in the problem solving. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands upon them. There it is, supernatural increase. Supernatural problem solving, supernatural leadership lift. Help us solve the problem. So the word of God spread as a result, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests, Jewish priests, became obedient to the faith. Whoa, when there is an anointing of wisdom and power and problem solving in the local church, there can be a release of power in Jesus' name. Wow. What a great moment. This moment could have been a divisive moment, but no, God turned it to be a power moment. I'm believing that right now in the coronavirus. This is such a difficult time in the history of the world, but I believe we can get a supernatural lift, don't you? Lift. Supernatural lift by the Holy Spirit receiving that Wi-Fi power. Oh, your power on me, and now I'm praying for others. I'm believing for lift. I'm believing for an increase in Jesus' name, and I'm praying it on you right now. I've got one more story, then a couple of scriptures, and we're finished. Here we go. Acts 13, the releasing of Paul and Barnabas into the nations. And we're releasing so many people into nations right now. We are increasing in so many nations. I believe it's a time of increase in Jesus' name. Acts 13, 1. This is in a church called Antioch, which is in current day Syria. Back then, they had this great church, just one of the great churches of this day. Acts 13. Now, in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, 5. Now, these guys are from all over the world, absolutely international, representing nations. Pretty amazing church in Antioch. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hand on them and sent them out. And this is called Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 13. And they go, and there's miracles and churches planted. Acts 14, Acts 16, 17, Acts 18, 19. And you see the power of God moving through Paul and Barnabas. God used Barnabas in different parts of the world. And there was an anointing increase as the local church saw what God was doing. And I'm praying that for you, that God will give you a leadership lift in business or ministry or parenting or whatever it is, education, trading, whatever the anointing is. And I'm praying for a leadership lift right now. We lay hands upon you in the spirit. We can't do it physically, but right now I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for a release in Jesus' name, a release of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, last two scriptures and we're finished. This is about the Holy Spirit gifts. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1. Here we go. This is the end of our talk, but here's two powerful scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:14, "Do not neglect your gift, your spiritual gift, which was given through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." When there was an anointing, there was a prophetic word coming forward. 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or cowardly, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." There's an anointing. Now, again, we can't do this. We can't have meetings. So I'm going to pray that for a release right now, a release of gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, anointing of healings, power of healings in the Holy Spirit, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of miracles, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits. I might have missed one or two, but the anointing. Just receive my prayer. I pray, Lord, for a release of your spiritual gifts to those hearing. So, Lord, as we come to an end today, I'm going to pray that we would have an anointing. Lord, we can't actually lay hands on, but I believe it can happen right now, just like spiritual Wi-Fi. Lord, receiving and giving that for anointing of the Holy Spirit, for preaching and seeing people set free, for blessing my family, blessing the business and blessing church and blessing the nation, the city. We bless. The Lord bless you and keep you, His face shine upon you. As we sing that song, I pray it would go out. And finally, the touch of God for leadership lift, spiritual gifts, power in the Spirit, wisdom, increase for our church, for other churches right across the world. And a leadership lift in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so our house is being built, right? We've now got this power, anointing. And a little bit of my piece fell off there. There we are. The power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to build our life, our ministry and our marriage and our parenting. And we're going to build our church and our business and our education and our future and our destiny. So even when there's shaking going on, we've got that Holy Spirit power, and we say, I will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. The power of the Holy Spirit be on your lives. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.